Good Thursday. Today is January the 29th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, we all know how the cold weather impacts our day-to-day activities on the farm or out and about with business functions, but we really don't think a lot about what it does to the transportation segment of agriculture, in particular with railroads and marine when we're talking about freighters on rivers and lakes. We're going to talk today about cold weather, transportation, and some of the impacts after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
We're going to take some time this Thursday morning and talk about the cold weather. Some interesting information from Mike Steenhook with the Soy Transportation Coalition telling us that, you know, the severe winter weather really has a high impact on the transportation system. For example, when it comes to railroads, severe winter conditions, especially frigid temperatures, can create safety concerns for railroad workers, which necessitate less time outside in the elements. Obviously, that impacts then their efficiency. Ice and snow accumulation on railroad tracks has to be cleared, which reduces the fluidity and efficiency of the rail network. Frigid temperatures will also cause mechanical breakdowns. Machinery obviously does not perform as normal in extreme cold conditions. For example, a train's air brake system is significantly impacted by frigid temperatures, especially when it's below zero. Railroads will have to resort to reducing train lengths, often by 25% or more, and they reduce their speed as well. Some of the situations they have is water vapor in the compressed air will freeze into ice. That inhibits the airflow through the braking system and can result in brake failures. Also, rubber components such as the gaskets and seals get hardened and frigid in temperatures and become much less pliable, and then often leaks will result. And cold air is denser than warm air, so more time is required to build up that pressure for the braking system, which can cause delays at the rail terminals. When it comes to some of the barge traffic, it's similar to the concerns for our inland waterway workers, both those working outside on barges and the shoreline. The extreme cold temperatures make that challenging. Ice accumulations on rivers can narrow the width of shipping channels, which can result in having a limited number of barges comprising of a single flotilla or unit, and ice accumulation on rivers will result in reduced flow and potential shallow locations in the channel. When it comes to trucking, truck driver safety obviously is impacted by the cold temperatures. The recent windy conditions have resulted in some high-profile vehicles like semis to get blown over in some situations when they're empty, and so a lot of times we hear about on the turnpike where they restrict that travel. Snow and ice obviously can result in treacherous conditions and delays as well. So just one more reminder about the valuable services those who work in our supply chain provide to agriculture and the broader economy. So as we think about these cold temperatures, be thinking about all the folks that are part of that system as well. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions now. Something we don't talk a lot about, and that is agritourism, especially this time of the year. But right now, there's growing amounts of data regarding agritourism and trends that are being harvested as more national, state, and local information is being produced. USDA's Rod Bain tells us about this study.
It is among the increasing harvest for agritourism operators and the communities they serve. Data to help them better understand and recognize some of the trends in their industry. Audrey Comerford of Oregon State University Extension notes some agritourism-oriented information gleaned from USDA's 2022 Census of Agriculture, including
1.9 million U.S. farms were estimated to basically report, and 1.5% reported themselves being engaged in some sort of agritourism, and 6% of direct-to-consumer sales.
Another way to break down numbers in agritourism operations, they were reported in 57% of the nation's counties. counties in the most recent census. Perhaps a more telling trend in agritourism.
Total income generated from agritourism and recreational services grew from the 2017 census.
That $1.26 billion, with a B, dollars of income through agritourism services, as according to the 2022 Census of Ag, reflects an over 12% increase from the prior census in 2017. Going back to that 57% of U.S. counties reporting agritourism in some form in the latest census, almost 50% of that total originated from counties in just four states: California, Texas, Colorado, and Hawaii. And what they generated in income was over one quarter of that $1.26 billion in agritourism sales in 2022. Data on agritourism trends is also being recorded on the cooperative extension level, both on a nationwide and a state or regional basis. Comerford discusses results of a national survey conducted in 2019 and 2020 by University of Vermont Extension.
We're seeing a lot of these agritourism operations identifying as either woman-owned or woman-led. This could be a place that could be a strong avenue for women in ag to make their mark.
While an Oregon State Extension look at agritourism in the major population region of the Willamette Valley gathers insight on consumers that visit such businesses.
A lot of the agritourism customers, the majority of them were within 50 miles of the farm. And then we're looking at the folks coming from farther away. 19% is coming from more than 50 miles, and 15% are the overnight visits.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.